Welcome to the Springs Church Podcast, where we explore the teachings of Jesus Christ and how they can be applied to our daily lives.
Join us as we delve into the Bible and discuss topics such as faith, hope, love, and forgiveness.
Our mission is to inspire and empower our listeners to live a life of purpose and meaning and to deepen their relationship with God.
Tune in every week for a new episode as we learn how Holy Spirit, the Bible, and a relationship with Jesus will impact every area of your life.
Good. You guys ready for the word today? I got a big one for you today. Hope you're ready for it. Hope you're real ready. But before we get on, I want to just say to Calgary and to everyone joining us online, welcome. They're joining us online right now, live to online, as well as everyone in Calgary and our location at Springs Church. We're pumped that we're all joining together in one unified body, different locations, but same family, which is so phenomenal. It's going to be great. But why don't you bow your heads and let's just pray before we get into God's word. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. We thank you that we never take it for granted, that we allow the confidence that you instill in us to go forward as we continue to push forward the amazing call you have on everyone's lives, God. We thank you that wisdom and favor and blessing and strength into the leaders right now of this nation, leaders of every different group, God. We thank you that they just continue to pursue a relationship with you as they lead this country. For those that are all about themselves, all about their own name, all about their own fame, all about their own wealth, God, we thank you that we can just remove them from power and we can elect someone even greater that will lead us into your perfect will. Your word says that you have a path already pre-planned for us that we should walk in. So we thank you that that leader will lead us into the pre-planned walk that you have for each and every one of us as we continue to go forward and make disciples of every single nation and instill this identity in this generation we're in now and every generation after. In your name, everyone in agreement said, amen and amen. Awesome. Two weeks ago, I told you guys that I was speaking on a message and I felt like I had to make my intro an entire message about your identity. So about 2 weeks ago, I spoke about your identity. I don't want to do an entire message on that right now because I just did it. So make sure you go back to our app, our Springs Church app. You can listen to, I think, the last 4 or 5 weeks of messages as they kind of come in and out. Make sure you listen to that identity because you have to. That is such a foundation in the world that you live in right now to know who you are and know whose you are. Okay? Whose you are Jesus's. Okay? God created you with a purpose, with a reason, with a calling. He thought of you before even your parents thought of you. He thought of you and cares about you more than anyone who's adopted you or whatever foster care system you're in. Whatever it is, God cared for you and cares for you more than that. You are God's child, no matter what, first and foremost. No matter how you've been loved or how you haven't been loved, you're God's child. That's whose you are. Now, who you are is a hardwired identity that is given by God for who you are. But the entire world, this fallen world, is constantly looking to rewire you into the identity that they want you to have so you can't go forward and do what God's called you to do. And God's called you to do amazing things, and you're only going to be able to accomplish those amazing things and make an impact in this world if you make sure that you stick to your hardwiring. Go listen to that message because you need to have that identity foundation as we get into what we're talking about today, okay? Inheritance, I talked about it before. I said I want to talk about all about your inheritance, okay? When you know you have an inheritance, you live your life differently. Let's take it from a worldly perspective. Let's say you have a rich aunt or an uncle, and you know you're in their will. You know it. First of all, it's kind of funny how you seek that out, right? If there's money, everyone loves to seek that out. Secondly, sometimes being the not smart human beings that we are at times, we choose to live differently knowing there's an inheritance. You know, buying the cars before you can afford it, knowing it's coming at some point. Looking to get more things, whatever it is. We live differently when we know we have an inheritance, okay? Now, as you walk with God and as you believe in Jesus, the moment you decide to believe in Jesus, you now have an inheritance from Jesus. Instantly yours. Jesus already died, already rose again, which means that will that you were written in, every believer of Jesus, is now yours. Now, whether you walk in that inheritance, guess who that's up to? You. Just you. Imagine being homeless your entire life, scraping by, and having $1 million in your checking account. Imagine not buying new shoes because these ones are duct taped together, your feet are falling off, falling out of the shoe, okay? And meanwhile, you have your inheritance in your bank account, but you're not using it. You'd be like, what? That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. But many of us Christians live that way our entire life, not knowing our inheritance. But only you can walk in it, and only you can believe in it. Okay? So when you believe in it, you now walk in an inheritance that is yours as a believer. And every believer has authority. Okay? And this is where we're going today. We're talking all about authority. Authority is huge. And if you don't understand it, you will always walk like you are defeated, and you're just striving to try to get victory. And meanwhile, you could be walking on the other side of those tracks in victory and just kind of withholding little things that come. You know, the devil tries this. No, I know my truth. I know the truth. Sorry, don't get me on that pet peeve again. I hate my truth when people say my truth. There's one truth. It's the Bible. It's in the Word of God. That's it. If your truth is just a way of saying my feelings, and your feelings aren't always correct. In fact, my feelings are usually wrong. Now, you can sit in them, you can cry, you can be sad, you can empathize with those around you. Absolutely, we are called to love each other. But we got to get off this whole thing of my truth. You know, I feel like it's what people say when they don't have any backup to say what they believe in. They're just like, oh, it's my truth. I was like, okay, I won't touch that then. Sorry, your truth, you know? But the Word of God is full of the truth, the one and only truth. And that truth is that when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, everyone who believes in his name at that moment and every single day after that moment has an inheritance and has authority. Okay? So you have an authority. You have the authority in this fallen world. This world is messed up. It's fallen, it's evil. The Bible talks about that the ruler of the world is actually Satan. It's not even God. This is a fallen world. Okay? But when we are and are given authority, you can walk through that fallen world good. Let's give you a word picture for a second here. Imagine a police officer, okay? And you're given a badge. That badge, what? When they show it to someone, it's them exercising the authority that they've been given, right? Do they have power? Does that badge have power when they use it? I would say no. They don't have power to pull you over. But the authority behind that badge does. Because if you decide to not be pulled over, it's like he will make sure, she will make sure that you're pulled over because they have the authority of the government behind that badge. Everything, right? So the authority in there can be exercised in making sure that people abide by the law, make sure that people are safe and protect them in their community. It gives them the power and authority more so to direct traffic and protect the community. But the badge's power comes from the government's authority behind it. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. Similarly, believers are given a badge of authority by God, okay? Through Jesus Christ, meaning when Jesus Christ died, you have been given authority, okay? So our badge that we have as Christians and believers is represented by our faith in this, in the Word of God, okay? Do you have the power by yourself to speak to all evil demonic forces and trample on them? No, you don't. But guess who's behind you? God, Jesus, absolutely. And God's given you the authority through him to say you're good. Just walk in it. Walk in the inheritance that I've given you, okay? When you're pulled over by the police, have you ever had someone I mean, I'm just going to assume none of you have ever been pulled over by the police, okay? I have, on more times than one. Love me or hate me, it doesn't bother me, okay? Do they ever come up to your window like this? Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. Sorry, I didn't mean to bother you today and pull you over. I hope this doesn't step on your toe. I hope I'm not going to make you late for work. I just noticed that you ran that stop sign, and I feel like I should give you a ticket, but not if it's too much of a hurt for you. No, why don't they? Because they have the authority, and they believe that the government behind them will back them up in that authority no matter what. So they walk up like this. Hey, how's it going? How's your day going? Good. Yeah, can I get your license registration, please? And you're like, can we talk about this, please, before you just take my license registration? Like, can you give me any out? Like, anything to show you that I'm a good person still? I love you. This is great. No, license registration. I'm like, here you go. Yeah, okay, thank you. They leave. You're like praying to Jesus you don't get the ticket, right? Man, I've gotten a ticket. They come back. They're like, hey, I hope your day's better than it has been. I'm like, we didn't even chat, man. We could have chatted. You probably would have liked me. Like, this would have completely gone a different way, you know? But no, they walk up with the authority that they've been given. They've been given. Why? Not because they have the power, but because they have the power through the government behind them. Can they physically stop your car by themselves? No, they can't. If he steps out on the highway and goes like this, and you don't want to stop, he's not stopping you. She's not stopping you. But I guarantee that if you didn't stop, that police officer is going to exercise their authority that they have with the government, and they'll make your vehicle stop. You see it everywhere. Now, they walk confidently. Why? Because they have authority and the government behind them. Now you have Christians. Enter Christians in, you know? They're like, they walk through life like this, looking up at everyone, and they go through hard times, and they're like, oh, please, Jesus, this is not your will, but please just help me take this sickness away from me. No, we all do that for some reason. But you have a badge. Through faith in Jesus, through what he's already done, and with him, he's given you the authority to puff your chest up, to walk through life, to walk through your storms, to walk through your diagnoses that aren't great, okay, and say, that doesn't matter because I have the authority to speak to that evil, demonic, whatever it might be, and command it to go, okay? That authority is yours. Walk in it, please, for God's sakes. Like, just like he's given you this so you can be confident, so you can open your eyes and go, yep. Why do you think police officers don't go like this? Because we wouldn't even think about it. It would not deter us at all. We'd be like, yeah, no, I don't want the ticket. Walk back, buddy, you know? Take a hike. Got pulled over this one time. Don't judge me, okay? I was on my way to church, so ha. That makes things a little better, right? It was like 6:30 a.m. I'm on the way to play drums here. I used to play drums on here in worship, and we have to get on stage by like 7, or I don't even remember now. 7 a.m. I think is when we're here for sound checks. And so I'm driving, you know. I didn't think I was speeding. It's going stop sign to stop sign. And maybe I was driving a little bit fast. I don't know, okay? It got their attention nonetheless, okay? And I got pulled over, okay? And these two guys get out of their car. It's still dark because it's like 6:30 a.m. They have their flashlights. One goes to my passenger door. One goes to my driver's door. They're looking in my car like this. I'm like, what the heck did I do? You know what I mean? I'm like, what is going to go on now? Then they knock on my window. I undo my window. And they're like, where are you headed? And I'm like, church. I swear, I probably make so many cops go, whoa, what the heck? We got a young guy here that's going to church, right? And he's like, where are you coming from? I'm like, where do you think I'm coming from? I'm coming from bed. Like, I think I'm just coming from the club straight to church in the morning? Like, maybe some people do that, but that ain't my motive, okay? Like, I know that doesn't lead a path that I want to live with my life, okay? And so I'm like, okay. And they go, okay, just hold on tight. I'm like, okay, if you don't mind, I said, I have to be at church. No, I didn't say that. I was like, texting my leader, hey, I ain't going to be there for another 20 minutes, just so you know, start without me. I will walk in when I can, okay? They leave, they come back, and they say, so domestic charges, hey? And I'm like, huh? In Toronto. I'm like, what? News to me. Like, big time news to me. Everyone's like, we're leaving this church. Holy crap. And I'm like, when you put my name in your system, did you put Zach Fontaine or did you put, like, my middle name too? Well, we didn't put your middle name. I'm like, maybe go back and put my middle name in there to see if that changes your search results. Because as far as I'm concerned, I ain't an abuser, okay? And they're like, okay, we're going to go back. They go back, they throw my middle name into my name. And they come back, okay, yeah, you're clear, you're good. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm good, okay? You guys just scared the crap out of me. Like, I was like, what day did I forget? Like, I don't remember. Like, what the heck? They walked up there like they had all the authority in the world, man. Because they did through the government. They could pull me out of there. Yes, we have a government that protects us. It should to the law. I'm not getting into that, so don't get me off onto the ditch right now. I'm not going there. But yes, we have that, but they have the authority behind that badge to say, pull over, get over there. If you decide not to, they'll make it happen through force because they have everyone they need behind them. They can get tanks, they can get armies, they can get National Guard, they can get whatever else to figure it out to stop the threat that's imposing on that country, whatever it is, okay? But they don't walk out all like, I'm a little scared right now. They walk out knowing their authority. And so I'm trying to get this across to every believer here is that you have an authority and you need to walk in it with your good posture, your chest out, and you just go through life, okay? This authority allows you to trample upon every evil spirit, every demonic force. It allows you to speak to cancer directly and say, get off my body because you're not in God's kingdom, which means I have authority over you, okay? Now, let's go down another rabbit trail right now. Because everyone likes to say, well, my loved one died, and this died, and oh, your dad died. Oh my gosh, man, people are just so rude these days. I'm just like, it boggles my mind. You know how many comments I've deleted off my Instagram because they just take pot shots at my dad? Lots. And I'm just like, whatever, God loves you, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'll try my best. I'll love, okay? We're called to love. But it doesn't matter who died in your life from a disease that you're like, well, why them? Stop asking why. Please, 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 please. Do you believe the word to be true or not? And if every little thing that doesn't go your way that you think is not true, does that instantly make you the validity of the Bible become questionable to you? Because if it does, then you're not in faith. Nothing can happen in my life that will ever make me question this. And I mean that. And we clap about it and we praise God about it, but then the moment you're walking through a trial, you don't live it. And it's the first question I get. I have a list of questions I'm going to ask God the second I get to heaven. Don't get me wrong, and I'm excited to get those answers. I really am. But this is truth. So either we believe on this or we don't. And if everything you go through, everything your relative goes through, everything your wife or husband goes through, everything your kids go through that seems to be on the opposite side of what God promises you, get in the Word of God and start to exercise the authority that you've been given. Okay? It's like talking to a cop and going, no, I'm not going to take that ticket. And him going, okay, go on your way. And he just goes back to his car. Uh-uh. I want you to pretend that sickness, and you're that cop, and sickness is you giving the ticket to someone that just broke the law. There's nothing that's stopping you from giving that ticket because that person just broke the law. Okay? The law of a Christian believer is that you have an inheritance, an authority that is backed by God, the ultimate power over everything, that says you can speak to cancer, you can speak to diseases, you can speak to what you go through, whatever it is, and say, no, you've already been defeated by Jesus because we already know how that works. You're done. We're going to keep moving forward in what God's victory is in my life, not this authority that I don't know if I have. I don't know if God really wants the best for me. No. Stop allowing the world and what it looks like to be the dictator of what you believe. Okay? Faith is either one or the other. It's not, it can be a broad range of things. No, faith is or isn't. Okay? It's not a spectrum. Either you have it or you don't. And every believer has been given it by God, but it's up to us to exercise it. How do you exercise it? You speak the word of God. Now, let me tell you, how do you speak the word of God if you never read this thing? You don't. You actually end up speaking your diagnosis. You end up speaking what the doctor, which is trying to get you help and trying to give you a name for something so you can pray against it, okay? Trying to get you a name for it because, yeah, we have an amazing medical world these days that can help you in a lot of areas. So it's good to get a name for something. It's good to get a diagnosis sometimes. But don't go, oh, this is my diagnosis and here I am. No, you just go, okay, but I know the authority that I've been given. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what someone says to you as a police officer, you know the authority behind the government that backs you in what you do, and so you speak confidently. I speak confidently no matter what, even if I feel like I don't fully feel confident in it. Because it starts to change something on the inside of you, okay? So your authority, I hope this has gotten across to you, is your authority is so incredibly important that if you don't understand it, you don't get it, you'll never walk in the faith that God's put in you. But you also never exercise over all the evil things in the world because evil spirits are real. Satan is real. The demonic forces are real. But as a believer, they've already been trampled on, the Bible says. Okay? It doesn't matter. I laugh so hard when they go, oh, we're about to buy this house. And then someone says, you know someone's died in there, right? What? It's haunted? What? Okay, no, back out. Oh my gosh. Look, if it really messes with you, sure, buy another house. But it's not because the evil spirit that's in that place is any stronger than the spirit that you have inside of you, okay? But if you don't speak to it like that, it for sure will stick around. We live in an evil world, okay? Our struggle is not flesh and blood, the Bible says, but against every evil force in the world. Which means that we will not have a struggle, but we will have that in our life where we have to resist and we have to push back and we have to say, nope, in the name of Jesus, get off this in the absolute name of Jesus. No matter what, demon possession is a thing. Absolutely. It's not a thing for a believer because you already have a spirit inside of you. That demon has no place. It tries to get in you and the Holy Spirit goes, huh, already inhabited, buddy. Back off. So many of us give so much power to the enemy all of the time. I don't care what someone says to me. The enemy didn't take my dad away from me, and I'll never let someone say that to my face. It doesn't have that kind of power. Now, there's questions I have, absolutely, so don't get me wrong, but still, those questions I'll ask to God, and it doesn't change what I believe in this thing. This thing's long, hey? This is a smaller one, actually. I have one on my desk that's just massive. These things are long. You ever read a book that, like, you get through a series and you're like, oh, it's over now. I wish I had a more book to read. You know, another book to read that was that good. Look how big this thing is, you know? It takes a lifetime to get through and understand. And if you desire to read this thing, it'll be the best book, the most interesting book, the best historical book, everything to just interest you in going. Everyone goes like, okay, well, what Bible should I buy? Is it the Geneva and the New King James or this and this? Buy one you'll read. Okay? Let's start there, okay? And then once you get a desire to read it, well, the translations are, oh my gosh, it's still the Word of God. It might have been translated a few times. It's still going to develop, and God's still going to speak to you through that verse. Absolutely. And yeah, it's nice to get back to some of the other Bible translations that are less altered, less edited. Absolutely. But most of them are just so boom, this is how it is, and it's hard to apply to your life right now if you're a newer Christian. So just get a Bible that you love. I love reading NLT. I don't care if you disagree with me. I'm not looking for it to be agreed with right now. Just get a Bible that you enjoy listening to, that you enjoy reading, that you can actually enjoy reading and apply to your life. I have people all the time, hey, is there a Bible that is easier to apply to my life? Yeah, get this one for now. And realize that once you build up the desire to read that Bible, it'll pursue you looking into different translations and what this one is and how to apply this and how to study it. It's awesome. Get a study Bible. That's the best thing I can always say. It kind of breaks down a lot of the verses, gives you a little bit of historical background. There's sometimes pictures in there for some of you guys, which is awesome. Whatever it is, right? But get a Bible that you're going to read. And that's the biggest thing as we go forward. This thing can last. This thing can be with you. This thing it'll outlive every generation that you have and can be passed down. I have a couple Bibles in my office. That's for my dad. That's for my grandpa, for my grandma. And it's like I can barely open it because they're tattered. They've been opened so much. And I love that. I love it. Because it shows, I said this a long time ago, but if your Bible looks like it's broken and tattered, your life probably isn't. You know what I mean? That's just how it works, because you get into this thing. Now, everyone's on their own journey, and, oh, man, I've already spent 25 minutes. That's crazy. I could go for 2 hours on this series. I haven't even got to my first point, and I have 7. Is that bad time management for me, or is this just me being passionate up here? And I hope you're enjoying what I'm saying, because I'm... Now, your authority is massive, and if you don't walk in that authority, man, the devil will trample you every day of your life. Every day, because it's already been won, it is already done. Now, how do we exercise this authority? We speak in faith, okay? You have to speak in faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which means that if you never hear the word of God, whether it's through preaching, whether it's through your own speaking, I like to read the Bible out loud. It just feels like it gets in me easier and faster, and it feels like it means more. Sometimes I like playing something, a nice piano type of song behind that's just really just chill and enjoyable and just kind of makes you get into a meditative state. And you just read and enjoy. Take the time away from whatever you can, whether that's 30 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever you have, and just enjoy that, because that's the way that it should be. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the most profound words you will hear are the ones that you speak. I can speak faith, and you guys can take from it. But when you speak faith, you believe it on a whole nother level, okay? So your authority is exercised in the world that we live in through prayer, but it's through authority, not begging and pleading. If you've been given authority over every evil thing in this world that's been trampled, that's how it is. I'll share a couple of verses before we close on that. That means that you can speak to the disease, whatever it is, and you can command it to get off you. If you're in the middle of a sickness right now, I have a little bit of a sinus stuff going on right now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the way I pray for myself when I pray is that I pray and I thank God, first of all, and I see the end from the beginning. That means I'm speaking what I want it to look like before it is, before it actually looks that way, which means, do I feel completely healthy right now? I don't. I actually have a couple Advil cold and sinus in me right now, which makes me feel pretty good, okay? My dad always used to say, pray and anoint with Tylenol. That's okay. Okay, every once in a while you gotta take it. We're all human. You gotta do 3 messages that are supposed to be 30 minutes, but I somehow go 45 every single time. That's okay. But sometimes you need a little bit of help. Okay, and that's okay. We are human beings, but the way I pray is this. I thank you that I am healthy, healed, and whole. Do I feel whole sometimes? No, but I speak it because that is what I want to be. And faith sees from the beginning and speaks it into existence, okay? And then now, I don't need to go, thank you, God, for taking this cold away. I can speak to the cold because we've been given authority over the cold, okay? That means that I go, in Jesus' name, I thank you that that cold, I speak to you, cold, in the name of Jesus, you get off my body right now. I thank you, Lord, for this. It is done. It doesn't matter to be all eloquent, whatever. It could be 3 words. I don't care. Just pray. Just enjoy. Speak faith. That's the biggest way to exercise the authority that you've been given, okay? So the authority you've been given has been given by Christ, and it's backed by God. It's backed by God, the most superior authority in the entire universe. Use it. Now, as I have to close now, which is ridiculous, but that's okay. I could go for 3 hours, but this is going to be an all-year series, just so you guys know. oh, it's great. Mark chapter 16 says this, okay? It says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. What does that mean? Back in the historical days, when someone sat at the right hand of a king, what did that mean? It meant power. It meant authority. It meant favor from that king. It meant most likely that it's the most trusted person to that king as well. Actually, it also meant that that person sitting at the right hand of God could speak for God with his authority. That's what it meant by sitting at the right hand of God. So when Jesus died, rose again, walked the earth and said, I'm going to go up to heaven now. I'm going to send Holy Spirit in my place. God's going to send you Holy Spirit, which means you are always directed, always comforted, always there. It's phenomenal, right? As you get closer to Jesus, Holy Spirit speaks to you more. And that's phenomenal, okay? But as you go, now I'm going to take a seat at the right hand of God, Jesus saying. Now let's go to the next verse to really pull this all together for you guys. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 6 says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Meaning that even though you didn't deserve it, because of the works of the people back in the day, not being righteous, not being godly, sinning all the time, God said, I'm going to send Jesus because I love you guys so much, and clearly you can't do it without him. I thank God for that one. Right? Otherwise, this message would be very, very different. I'd be like, all right, you got that. You're going to die from it. Just enjoy life as you have it. Can you imagine? These things would, you guys would all leave. We wouldn't have a church next Sunday. Like, I'm not even going to speak like that. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 6 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. By grace. That's a really cool thing, just so you know. Don't hop over that. There's so much depth in every line. It's phenomenal. It is by grace, which means he loves you so much, you don't deserve it, but it's his grace that says, I'm giving it to you anyways. And God, it says, it has been grace, but you've been saved in verse 6. And God raised us up, believers, in Jesus Christ, and seated us with him, Jesus, in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So where is Jesus sitting right now? At the right hand of the Father. I just described what the right hand of the Father signifies, right hand of the King, what it signifies. And now we're sitting with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Okay? That means that you have the right and the inheritance to exercise your authority over every demonic power on this planet. People have come and ask for prayer for their loved ones that feel like they're demon-possessed, whatever it is. And I say, I have no problem praying with any one of you. Anyone wants prayer, you can always come to any one of us pastors. We'll pray for you on the spot. But I will always preface every single prayer that I say by saying, I have no more power than you do. You don't got to touch the hem of my garment to get healed. Okay? Yes, there's some Bible verses about that, but God's given you the authority. Okay? So you better rise up and you better take that authority and walk in it. Otherwise, the enemy will make you think he has authority and you'll bow down to it. You choose. I can't choose for you. All I can do is get passionate, yell, laugh at myself while I'm up here, and then get off. But it's up to you guys to walk in that authority. And as Christians, as people in Springs Church right now, the world needs us to walk in our authority. That's the only way we're going to go forward, okay? Not only that, we need kids to walk in their authority too. When you see a kid that gets up and knows who he has and what he has and what she has and who she is, it is such a beautiful thing. I almost cried in that video of chapel. When all these kids are screaming, and I put my faith in Jesus. If that doesn't make you tear up, like, you got to connect to your heart, you know? Like, somehow. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's what we're doing at a major scale to us, but we can go so much bigger. Why? That's why we're doing our campaign, and that's why we're doing these things, and that's why we want to instill an identity in this next generation that are going to take this forever as far as it can go, and then also start to introduce the identity of Christ to the next generation. And if we don't do that, no one else will. I've said this 100 times. We've had hundreds of pledges, but I believe there's thousands to come. But it's only by our hand that those pledges come in. It's only by you. It's only by those that you know in the community. It's only by any of that. Why? Because we have an authority on this planet. And sometimes it feels like people aren't exercising that, and we're kind of losing that battle a little bit at times. But you can just choose to walk in that authority and your life will change, okay? So as we go through, I'm going to close with a couple verses here. I have so much more to say, but like I said, I'll make another message about it and we'll talk about it another week. But the power of your words is so incredibly important. I try to stop anyone who says, I died, when they're like saying it was laughing and it was the funniest thing they've ever seen. They say, I died. I know a lot of you do it and that's okay. But words are so powerful. And whether you think you're not believing it, your heart's hearing it, okay? And when you speak words out loud, your heart hears it, takes it, and it's like putting a seed in soil. It will water it, no matter what. There's a reason that in the beginning of the Bible, it's God says, let there be. He didn't snap his fingers. He didn't do a little dance. Nothing. He said, let there be. He showed us that his words meant something. His words, okay? There's a verse in the Bible in Mark 11:23. It says, truly I tell you, if someone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. It didn't say do a dance in front of the mountain. It didn't say ask God to move the mountain. That's going to test all of you right now. It says you speak to the mountain. You speak to it. If you speak to the mountain with the authority that you've been given, the mountain will move. That's it. Not because you have the power, because your badge of faith, like the police officer, has the entire heavenly realm behind you. Okay? But the problem with us is we believe more in what the world's doing than we believe what God's already done. Okay? And the world's going to take on some interesting everything all the time. It's like, I don't even know, man. I can't keep up. I don't even try to keep up. I'm like, I don't even want to be trendy anymore. It's just getting ridiculous, okay? I just want to know God's word and know that that stays true every single day of our life. And no matter where the world goes, that's still true, okay? I want to close with, oh, man, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to say it. I had so many more points. I'll say it. In Luke 10, verse 19, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Okay? Everybody say all.
All.
Everyone say all power.
All power.
Of the enemy. Okay? Thank you. I actually didn't say repeat that, but you guys are awesome. You guys would have lost Simon Says, let me tell you right there, but that's okay. All power, right? All power. So what's making you limiting your belief that there's some powers on earth that it doesn't abide by? What makes you think that? Might be your friends, might be the things you listen to online. And please, like, stop looking at horror movies and stop watching paranormal activity stuff. Yes, a lot of those things can be real because we live in a demonic world. Look around, man. It's like when you step out of church. It's everywhere. We live in a demonic world. But don't come crying to me that your dreams are bad after you're watching horror movies all the time. Okay? It's like, yeah, I've just been not having the best dreams lately. And it's like, oh, no? Wow. Who would ever thought, hey? Who would ever thought that your dreams take on the thoughts that you have and your thoughts that give you your dreams are influenced by what you let in your ears and your eyes and you're not choosing what you're looking at or listening to? That boggles my mind. That's like science I can't comprehend. Sorry, I'm being very sarcastically rude right now, but come on, like you are the Bible says, guard your heart for out of it flows the issues of life. Your eyes, your ears, everything you hear, everything you say, everything you look at, it starts to affect your heart. It does. And so guard it with everything that you are. But I like watching those movies. Okay, I don't know how else to figure that out, but I figure out a different, I don't know, time that gets your adrenaline pumping apart from always wanting to be scared of these weird spiritual horror movies. It's like, oh my gosh. I'm sorry, I know some of you love these things and you consider yourself a Christian, and you believe in Jesus, but it's not going to fare well for you after a while. It's going to win the battle because you need to walk in your authority and go, no, you have an authority. I hope you've gotten that from this message. Or do I need to say it for another 20 minutes? No, you're like, oh, crap. Exercise your authority, okay? As Christians, as believers, stand up, put your chest out, realize that just because you got a bad diagnosis does not mean your life is ending, does not mean that you've lost the battle. It's just information. Whether you let that information impact your heart and take your authority that God's given you is up to you. Well, you have a badge of faith, and it is exercised by your words of faith. So speak out loud every day the faith that you have, and get into the Word of God every single day. This is why we say this. Someone said, how do I get to know God, but don't just say read the Bible? And I was like, what? How do I answer a question about getting to know God without going back to, like, the Bible? It's funny, right? But you have to figure out what you like to read. Get yourself a study Bible that you enjoy reading and get into the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You have an authority, a part of you. How freeing is it to know that you can walk into a house and the last owner said is demon-possessed and you can say, not when I'm in there. That's freeing. The Bible says that they've trampled every... I'm going to read it again. Giving you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. And the last line says, nothing will harm you. Amen. Nothing. Walk in that authority. Stick your chest out. Don't walk to the window like a police officer that doesn't know his authority. Walk up and go, no, I know what this is. Speak to that disease that you think you have or that the doctor's saying you have and speak to it with authority. Speak to that cold. Speak to that ailment in your ankle. Speak to whatever it is that healing. Speak to praying for your kids, whatever it might be that they have confidence within them. Speak what God's created them to be. And I promise you, your life will begin to change. You have an authority. Walk in it. It is phenomenal. It's going to change your life when you do. Amen? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Every single week we take time to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus into your life. And you have an inheritance, but it's the believer's authority that activates that inheritance. If you don't know the person who gives you the inheritance, that means that you don't have the inheritance. You need to walk in that inheritance every single day, but it starts with believing in Jesus. It starts with believing in Jesus. And so as I close, I want everyone around this auditorium, those who are watching online or are in Calgary right now, wherever you are, this prayer works through every bit of technology and wherever you are. All you got to do is believe in Jesus and you become a Christian and you now access that inheritance every single day, okay? But maybe you're not even a Christian yet. And so I want to give an opportunity before we dismiss this service. With no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. This is between me, God, and the person that wants to give their life to Jesus. But if that's you, I want you to slip up your hand right now and give me a wave on stage right now, all around the auditorium. Thank you. Just slip up that hand wherever you are. Thank you. Don't let fear come in right now. You just do it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So amazing. Thank you. Thank you. God has an authority that he's given you. And it kills me to think you'll never walk in it. It really hurts me to think you'll never walk in it. Thank you. This is the most beautiful part of our service every time because it's people that go, yes, I want to believe. Thank you. So good. So good. Making a grown man cry right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, it's amazing. If you're in Calgary right now, go ahead and slip that hand up. There's going to be a pastor on the stage that can get that hand and look at it and reply to it. It doesn't matter, though, if someone replies to it. You know what raising your hand is? It's an act of faith that says, you know what, I do believe in this, and I want to show everyone that I believe in this. Awesome, thank you. If I missed your hand, that's okay. The prayer goes like this, and I want everyone to repeat after me, and you believing in this prayer, that's it. And believing on Jesus is what makes you a believer. That's it. The prayer goes like this, everyone loud and proud, okay? The Father in Jesus' name, I give you my life. Please come into my heart. From today and on, I'm following you. Give me the power to change every day, every year, for the rest of my life. Jesus, I'm following you. In your name, amen and amen. That's awesome. So good.